there's room for every one of us. Please turn, if you will, to our scripture today, which is Acts 2, verses 38 through 42. Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments, and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. This is the word of God for the people of God. So for the last 4 weeks, we've been focusing on the five practices of fruitful congregations. Robert Schnaz writes about these practices, which he lists as passionate worship, radical hospitality, intentional faith development, risk-taking mission and service, and extravagant generosity. If we take a look at today's scripture, we see that those in the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. As they did these things, the early church grew by leaps and bounds, even though it was very difficult and even dangerous to be a Christian in those times. In other words, their faith did not just grow by accident. They were surrounded by other believers who helped them. Faith development means growing closer to God day by day. I remember the words from the song In Godspell. Some of you are way too young to know this, so I'm like telling my age here, but I bet some of the choir remembers it. It goes like this. Day by day, day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray. To see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. And I almost wanted to start clapping and singing it. But that's what the Lord wants us to do. Day by day. Come closer to him, to see him more clearly, and follow him more nearly. And most of all, to love him more dearly. So as we look at the book of Acts, if you've ever studied it, then you see that the Apostle Paul, all throughout Acts, gives instructions to those who follow Christ. He gives them encouragement to learn and to grow, encouragement to be more mature Christians, and then to teach others about Christ. The adjective intentional that we use today is added to faith development to describe a deliberate effort, purposeful action towards an end, and high prioritization. Faith development doesn't just happen. We don't just stumble into it by accident. We don't see it just walking around the golf course. We don't see it when we're out boating on the lake. We don't necessarily become closer to God. It's important that we deliberately seek to become closer to God. John Wesley, who is the founder of the United Methodist Church, realized this. He was a part of the Anglican Church, a church where they hardly ever serve communion. A church where, once again, like they are in Europe now, where people didn't even come to worship. The sanctuaries were kind of empty. They never got together in small groups. And so John Wesley began to strengthen the church by forming these classes, these bands, bringing people together to go into the Word and then to go out to the prisons and places to serve other people. They were called Methodists because they were very intentional about what they were doing. Some even said they had their methods of doing things. And so they began to grow spiritually. And they began to expand. And a revival happened. And people came closer to Christ. People who didn't know Christ before. It was wonderful. So why is it important for us as Christians to join together to develop our faith? If you want to, you can look at your sermon notes. There's some notes there that will kind of guide you. What happens when we are in a group with other believers? They help us. They help us to interpret God's word for our life. I was in Sunday school way back again, a long time ago, in the 80s and the 90s. And I was in this wonderful class called the Agape class. And this class was not just couples. It was singles. It was not just young people. It was older people. It was all kinds of people. And I'm telling you, we had different opinions about everything. But we came together to study God's word, and we discussed it. And I mean, there were some wild discussions in that classroom. But it really caused my faith to grow. It caused my faith to grow because I was challenged to really think about what I believed, to really go deep into my soul and say, oh, do I really live that? To really know how important it was to be able to understand what I believed so that I could tell other people what I believed. Believe it or not, at one point I was kind of a shy person. Before I went to seminary, I had never even prayed out loud. This class helped me. It helped me by challenging me. Other people challenged me. There were so many people that taught that class, led that class. And in fact, there wasn't one leader. There were many of us. And so when we had to teach or lead, we had to go even deeper into the scripture, and that caused us to grow. And so I'm so thankful to all those people in my life who taught me and who challenged me. And I want to say today, while I'm standing here, how grateful I am, and I know many of you share this, to the people who are our teachers in this church. I am so thankful to Nancy Long that she goes. She's there every week, no matter if she has one child or many children. She's got her Bible open. Every time I've ever walked in there, she has her Bible open. And she's ready to do Sunday school for any child that arrives. Thank you, Nancy. And Bill Black. Man, you are awesome. You are just awesome. I had time with Becky Haddock this week, and she couldn't stop saying how much she had grown in your classroom. And she said, Tam, I don't mean to hurt your feelings or anything, but I get a whole lot more from Bill Black's classroom than I do for your 20 minutes. I said, and Becky, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Intentional faith development doesn't happen with a 20-minute sermon during the week. That's just the truth. We are here to worship God today. We are here to hear his word. But the growth happens when we're intentional. Steve, I don't know if Steve's in here. Yeah, there you are. Thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed your class today. It touched my heart, and it reminded me that the Holy Spirit is speaking loudly and clearly through our teachers. And I love purpose-driven life. It's changed a lot of people's way of being. So thank you for being a faithful teacher. There are many others, so please forgive me. I'm not catching everybody. But I just wanted to say thank you. You are so helpful to us in help in just teaching us and leading us. So relationships are important in our walk with Christ. Other Christians help us to pray, to read scripture, to exercise love and to forgive, and to explore and respond to the will of God for our lives. Sunday school classes, Bible studies, choirs, bells, United Methodist men, United Methodist women, children's Sunday school, all of these things, and there are many more, help us to come together and develop stronger relationships, and most of all, to help us to develop a stronger relationship with God. God uses these relationships to change us. Churches that practice intentional faith development know the secret of small groups and consistently offer new possibilities for people to know Christ by engaging one another. In order to have intentional faith development with small groups, churches have to break out of usual patterns and expectations of place, frequency, curriculum, all of these things to be able to reach new people. Now, I'm treading on a little bit dangerous territory because I'm saying that we have to be flexible. We need to be willing to go outside of these walls into new places where people need to be in relationship with God and need to be in relationship with us. There are people who will not come in to this church for whatever reason. And I've been trying to kind of let you know that people have their reasons. All these things go on in people's minds that we're not aware of. And so we need to be able to go to them and to bring small groups to them. And in order to do this, we need to be flexible. We need to be able to hear God's Spirit and see where God is already at work ahead of us. And so I want you to begin praying about that, church. Where are the possibilities? Where can we go that people need to hear the word and be in small groups? What can we do that's kind of outside of what we're doing now? Now, I want to let you know that the Lord really has been putting on my heart that we need to go ahead and take advantage of what we have to begin with. And we have a wonderful Wednesday night supper. Some of you guys come to it regularly, and others haven't really been. So on Wednesday nights, after supper, the choir's going to go, and they're going to be in their small group. And they're going to practice and help us to be in passionate worship. The bells will go and practice their ringing. But there's going to be a new opportunity for Bible study on Wednesday nights after supper. And we're going to have it, and we're going to have a children's program in conjunction with this. Just a short hour, a little over, for the children to have some more Bible and for the adults who want to come after a meal to have a little Bible study. And so what I'm hoping is that couples with children will come, because there'll be a place for the children to learn and to grow and to have a great time. And that their family members, some new folks maybe, that haven't really been in a study before, will come. And we have to be ready for this to work out great, or we have to be ready for there to be one or two children or one or two people. But every single one of those is important to God. Everyone. And so I want you to be praying that people will be touched and that they will come. And I don't want to discourage any of you that are older, that are established in your faith. Because remember what I was talking about earlier about discussion and how important that is? And you're the ones that have some wisdom to bring to the situation. You may learn some things too, but you are also just a part of what's happening in this church and the relationships that can happen and the growth that can happen wonderful. So this is a new opportunity. It's not going to happen until the middle of September, so when we're already established in school a little bit and things are going along. But I wanted to let you know that that's something new. So be praying. And if you are not able to come to this Bible study particularly, maybe you have some other things, other responsibilities in the church, other responsibilities in the world, maybe you are working on a Wednesday night, and I understand that, then I want you to think about being intentional about your faith development. Where can you be a part of a group? Where can you connect with God? Today we have a lovely gift for the men of the church. Ladies, you'll get yours later. But today we have a devotional booklet, which is really nice for the men of the church. And I ask you and invite you to take this booklet. There's some out in the gathering room. There's some in the narthex. Take it with you and be intentional about your faith development in these coming weeks. I just want to thank the family group did you order these books? I don't know where they came from. They're lovely. I don't know if we got them by accident, but there's enough for all the men in the church. I read them. I looked at it to see that it was good, and it's good. Tammy, did you order those books? I don't know where these came from. I think God wanted you to have them, men, but we're blessed. They're neat. I like them a lot. Okay, so be intentional about your faith development. Use the resources that God has given you and pray that God will help us to expand what we're doing for him. Now, I want to say that God is calling some of you to be leaders of small groups. If we just went on the groups that I was able to lead, we would have very little in this church. Very, very little. We'd be suffering horribly. If we want to reach the people in the world that need to hear about Jesus, it's going to take all of us. And some of you are gifted to be leaders or facilitators or teachers. Some of you are. So be praying about that. Be praying about where God can use you to add to the wonderful teachers that we have currently. It's a good thing. Now, if we continue to look at the scripture, we see that those who were believers in the early church were intentional about breaking bread together. And it's a beautiful thing when we come together to break bread, because we're in relationship with God and we're in relationship with one another. We are blessed to be able to break bread together today. And what's lovely is that this table is open to everyone who is a believer in Jesus Christ. If you believe, you are welcome at this table. We come together and we're shoulder to shoulder with those who are very different from us in some ways and very much the same in others. And we're one family. So I ask us now to please prepare our hearts. I want you, if you will, to turn to page 12 in this blue hymnal. Let us prepare our hearts to come together to break bread. Page 12, the prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.